Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, it's showtime again, good people.
I like waking up in the morning, breathing in the air, and realizing I've made it through the night and I haven't wet the bed.
Guess what day it is?
Hump day!
Wednesday.
Hump day!
Wednesday.
Guess what day it is?
It's Wednesday. Who doesn't get excited about Wednesday?
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we KGO go.
You know, this is getting really, really embarrassing how badly I'm beating old Teddy Lizard Face and everybody's favorite swimming pool game, Marco Rubio. Oh, and not to mention John Kasich, because nobody ever does. I mean, we slam dunked it in Mississippi and in Michigan, which, by the way, I really need to thank my good buddy, Michael Moore, who pulled himself away from several very important hometown buffet dinners last night to get out and vote. I really love the guy. He's a fantastic director. He has really supple, fully developed breasts. I mean, what more can I say? And as much as I hate to admit it, I've got to give the rabbi, Bernie Sanders, credit. The man is 89 years old, and he's still holding his own against that turkey neck cankle queen, and that is really inspiring. All right, I got to get going here. I've got a really big meeting I got to get to with my brand new campaign advisor, the Reverend Louis Farrakhan. Okay, guys.
Oh, my God.
Hasta.
And so it was just, you know, it's like the parody is so close to the reality that it's almost scary. I mean, you know, he was pimping his own products last night. Then he was mocking a reporter for being politically correct, the PC thing.
Say it again. Oh, you're just so politically correct. You're so beautiful. Oh, look at you. Oh, he's so... Oh, I know. You've never heard a little bad, a little off language. I know. You're so perfect. Aren't you perfect? Aren't you just a perfect young man? Give me a break. You know what? It's stuff like that that people in this country are tired of, okay? It's stuff like that. Sarah?
And if you didn't, if you missed what the reporter was asking, it's like, well, don't you think that some of your language is crude or offensive to children? Well, I guess it doesn't matter. And we're not being PC. That's not what we're all about. We're all about pimping our steaks.
And Mitt got up, and he really shouldn't have done it. It wasn't becoming, honestly. And he talked about the water company. Well, there's the water company. I mean, we sell water, and we have water. And it's a very successful, you know, it's a private little water company, and I supply the water for all my places, and it's good, but it's very good. Trump steaks. Where are the steaks? Do we have steaks? We have Trump steaks. He said, the steak company, and we have Trump steaks. And by the way, if you want to take one, we'll charge you about, what, $50 a steak? No, we have Trump magazine. Let me see the magazine. He said, Trump magazine is out. I said, it is? I thought I read one 2 days ago. And the airline, by the way, I sold the airline. You know, he said, Trump airline. Well, I sold the airline, and I actually made a great deal. You know, so I'm hearing about all of these things. So when I saw the different things, and by the way, the winery, you see the wine, because he mentioned Trump vodka. It's the largest winery on the East Coast. I own it 100%, no mortgage, no debt. You can all check. You have to go check the records, folks. In fact, the press, I'm asking you, please check, because you can see if there's any debt.
We all need some of that complimentary Trump vodka for sure. How about that? So check this out. I mean, you know, there is a good chance that he will become the president, and we'll talk about how you can actually make some money on it. Yes, lay down the Benjamins. Bet on it. You can. It's a thing. We'll discuss. But the Republican debate last week on Fox News was the number one rated show in the country. I mean, you know, not The Voice, not The Walking Dead, not NCIS, the Republican debate. You know, was number one. NCIS was number two. The Voice was number three. Walking Dead was number four. The Voice was number five. So there you have it. That's where we're headed. And, you know, like it or not, it could happen. And then again, the truth is stranger than fiction, although this was fiction. You're going to love this. So Harry Shearer, the voice behind Mr. Burns, Ned Flanders, Smithers, Principal Skinner, and many more, He was at LAX, and there was this episode 16 seasons ago where they were kind of making fun of Hillary because Lisa Simpson looks like Hillary in this clip. And, well, there's a President Trump 16 seasons ago.
Excellent question. Yes, I am proud to be America's first straight female president. As you know, we've inherited quite a budget crunch from President Trump. How bad is it, Secretary Van Houten?
We're broke.
The country is broke? How can that be?
Well, remember when the last administration decided to invest in our nation's children? Big mistake.
The Balanced Breakfast Program just created a generation of ultra-strong super criminals.
And midnight basketball taught them to function without sleep.
What about my pledge to build the world's largest bookmobile? Isn't there any money left for that?
No, and we borrowed from every country in the world.
16 seasons ago. And it could happen. And it could happen. And I found this other story incredible. People are trying to immigrate as fast as possible. Immigration itself, immigrants are applying to become citizens in record numbers to vote against Donald Trump. Immigrants who are here legally but aren't citizens yet have been applying to become citizens, again, in record numbers. Why? So they can vote against Trump. According to the New York Times, there could be a million applications in 2016, which is several hundred thousand more than the last few years. So, by the way, if you are one of those people, you've got to start the process by May 1st. Then you'll be able to vote. And then the montage of Donald Trump saying China, accompanied by a bass guitarist, is the viral thing of today.
Let's say China. 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 China.
And that goes on for a minute and a half, but that's enough. All right, so we've got a lot to get to tonight, including coming up, we're going to talk about politics in the bedroom and ways to avoid that. I mean, you know, I think it's one of those things that I think when people are dating or when they're seeing each other or when, you know, when you're in that area, it obviously comes up right away and you have to decide if it's something you can deal with. Now, do you deal with it or do you just, like I do, don't talk about it? I mean, that's the easiest way. But can you live with somebody who's on the other side of the fence? I mean, you know, if you're hardcore Hillary and he or she is hardcore Trump, how's that work out? You're Fox. They're CNN. How you doing? All right. And then we're going to talk about the secret world of gamblers betting millions on the 2016 election. Yes, it's like FanDuel and DraftKings. It's out there. And as of press yesterday, when this landed in my lap, 29 cents on Trump becoming the president could get you 78 or 79 cents. If you do the process, let me see here. So 29 cents could get you 78 cents as we roll through the election. We'll tell you how that's working coming up. So, as I said, it's very much, it's like DraftKings and FanDuel. I don't really understand how it's legal. Not sure it is, but it's out there and you can do it. All right, let's take a break and we'll talk about avoiding political battles in the bedroom and how that goes. That's on the way on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. Right now, with a look at traffic, here's Lee Graham in the KGO Traffic Center.
If it matters to you, he's talking about it. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
The greatest potato group in the world, Idaho. I love Idaho. I love Idaho. I told them, I just tweeted, I said, I love your potatoes. I hope you're going to vote for me. I'll protect you. Nobody's going to take those potatoes away from Idaho.
Was there a threat made on the potatoes? Because is ISIS planning to cripple our supply of tater tots?
Who's the Mr. Potato Head now? Well, it could be you and your relationship, but depending upon where you stand politically, this can be a hot potato when it comes to love and marriage or love and relationships. And I have my first guest of the evening, Dave Willis, joining us. He's the best-selling author of Seven Laws of Love and the founder of StrongerMarriages.org. Dave, thank you very much for joining me.
Hey, Drex. Thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. So I have to tell you, you know, I think that at the beginning when couples meet, this is one of the first things. I know you're not supposed to be too political, but I think it is one of the first things that people do. They see what political persuasion one or the other is.
Absolutely. No, I think, you know, people say don't talk about politics or religion, but when it comes to this person that you're entering into a potentially serious relationship with, I think that those definitely have to be part of the conversation, because you want to know, all right, are we coming from the same worldview? Are we coming from different places? And the places where we don't agree, can we live with those disagreements and still get along?
That's a great question. So if you are with somebody that this is a problem, 808-0810, or you've had to break up or, you know, split the scene because you couldn't handle their political issues or their vibe, 808-0810. So are you seeing a lot of couples at odds this political season?
You know, I am. I don't think there's necessarily more couples at odds this political season, but I think this one is so polarizing that it's creating more tension among those couples who are already on different sides of the aisle. And so it does create tension. I mean, right now, if you work around people with different political views, that's one thing. But then when you're sleeping next to somebody with different political views, that is a whole different hot potato, like you said, as you were starting the segment. So, yeah, it can create some real tension.
Wow. Okay. So, I mean, do you have any advice? Because, for instance, in my relationship, we are on opposite ends of the spectrum, but we hammered through that elections ago. So we just don't talk about it.
Well, sometimes that's the best place to start. I mean, depending right. on your personalities, just establishing some ground rules. It's like, all right, look, if neither of us are going to talk the other into changing our minds here, then let's just say we're going to agree to disagree, and we're going to leave the debates on television, and we're not going to bring it into the house. We're going to have, you know, peace here. And if we are going to talk about it, we're just, if it starts getting hostile, we're just going to cut it off, because it isn't worth it. The bottom line is you're going to get a new president every 4 or 8 years, but our commitment to each other, we hope, is for a lifelong term. So it's way more important. So let's focus on our commitment instead of the places where we disagree.
And do you think this political season is more stressful on relationships than, let's go back to Obama. I mean, you know, I don't remember that being so polarizing. I remember that being enthusiastic.
I've never seen anything like this political cycle. And it's put real tension on couples who have different disagreements, because for whatever reason, I don't think in our lifetime we've seen an election where there's so much passion on both sides. And so if you're on complete opposite sides of the political spectrum with somebody you're in a relationship with, somebody you're married to, I think that you've got to just say, all right, look, this is going to be an area where either we don't fight about it, or when it does come up, we're going to choose to have fun with it. I know if it was my wife and I, if we were in this position, I would totally be putting my candidate's bumper sticker on her car and seeing how long it took her to figure out she was driving around town advertising for my guy. I mean, I think you got to, in a relationship, you got to be able to laugh. You got to be able to have fun. And she would get me back worse. I mean, she would put me on the robocall list for her people, I'm sure.
Right.
And we'd be able to laugh about it. But if you can't laugh about it, then you're better off to take your approach and just say, you know what, this is just going to be one of those areas that we don't go there.
Yeah, you'd get the robocall from Mitt Romney and argue about it. I don't know. it's not a good thing. I think that everybody has their political thing. But, you know, one of the things I wonder about, and you can tell me, Dave, is when you marry the other person or you're in a relationship with another person, you are also with their family. And sometimes, you know, my dad, her dad, his dad, whatever the case may be, those things come up.
Oh, yeah. No, they come up.
Yes. I mean, there's no avoiding awkward... that. You can't tell the family to stop.
No, you can't. Thanksgiving can be real awkward. You know, you find yourself looking around the table saying, if I wasn't related to these people, I don't think I'd be hanging out with anybody here. And yet, here I am. And so, yeah, I think in those situations, you got to say, again, can I promote peace here? Can I be a bridge builder instead of putting up walls to just, you know, focus on our divisions in the place we're different, instead of finding some common ground, you know, finding something that we all like to talk about, something that we have in common. And then when it does come up, to just refuse to take it personally. And I think that in every relationship, that's where we get into trouble, is when we look at whatever we're disagreeing about is an opportunity to take it personally and let our pride get wounded and feel like that their difference of opinion is a personal attack on us. And if we'll just refuse to go there and we'll kind of just rise above that, then even if we're being picked on around the Thanksgiving table or by whomever, I think that we're going to be able to keep a cool head.
Politics and the relationship, 808-0810 is the number. Maybe sometimes I think you're right. It's healthy in the relationship. I don't know, not to marry the opposite, but, you know, I think that you're bombarded with it. You can't help but seeing it. It's on. There's another debate tonight, and it's, like, overwhelming. For instance, let me tell you, the number one show last week was the Republican debate with 16.8 million viewers. That's not number one cable. That's number one in the country. And wow. I was talking about this earlier. NCI was number two. The Voice was number three. So there's no avoiding it. And, you know, I don't know how you do avoid it. I mean, what do you do?
And again, yeah, that's what makes this election cycle so different, which is why I'm glad we're having these conversations, because in the past, I think we could avoid it a lot better. You know, it was somewhat invisible until just a month or two right before the election. But this thing is everywhere. It's in our face. And so it's forcing some of these conversations. And that's why I think it's good to talk about, don't wait for the debate to come on to talk about how you guys are going to respond when the political conversation comes up. Choose to have those conversations ahead of time before you're in this really tense moment of, you know, passions and disagreements and things flying on the air to say, look, how are we going to navigate this? Do we just need to leave the TV off? Do we need to know that's coming on tonight? We're going to watch something else on the DVR? Or can we watch it together and have an actual conversation without it turning into a fight? And those are conversations that I think every individual couple has to have based on their unique relationship.
Dave Willis is my guest, and he is the author of Seven Laws of Love. And we're talking about, yes, avoiding political battles in your relationship. 808-0810 is the number. If you'd like to add anything, weigh in. 808-0810. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO810. Legendary Beatles producer George Martin passed away yesterday. He was considered the fifth Beatle. We'll be playing a lot of his audio talking about the recording of many, many Beatles songs coming up. But right now we're talking with Dave Willis and avoiding the political battles in a relationship. And, you know, how do you handle that in your marriage or, you know, the family? 808-0810 is the number. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show. But first, John Lobertini in the KGO Newsroom.
The voices in his head may not be real, but they have some really good ideas. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me.
He recorded a reggae cover of a socialist anthem and expects us to believe he only smoked pot twice. Was one of those times for 10 years, Senator? The only reason I could think of that the senator from the People's Republic of Vermont has only sparked up twice is that maybe Bernie thought it clashed with his political beliefs.
If we pass the Duchy upon the left-hand side, the bottom 10% of the people on the right are getting 80% less Duchy than the elite 1% on the left-hand side. I promise in my administration, there will be equal redistribution of the Duchy.
And that's probably why people should be passing the Duchy around, because at least that will calm you down, where alcohol might cause a big stir. All right, good evening. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO810. And my guest is Dave Willis. He's the best-selling author of Seven Laws of Love. And so, you know, Dave, you have three or four steps here to survive this political season. But I have to ask you, I was thinking about this during John's newscast. You know, when it comes to politics, it is such a person's inner core. I mean, it's a fundamental belief system. So how can you not take it personally?
Well, I think you can not take it personally by saying, look, we're going to not agree on everything all the time. And the fact that this person I love is coming at this from a different perspective than I have and a different opinion than I have, even though my instinct is to take it personally, my instinct is to argue and say, what's wrong with you? And to try to shake some sense into him, to take a step back and realize, look, there are all kinds of areas where we're not going to agree. And a strong relationship, it has to have unity, but it doesn't always have to have uniformity. In other words, it has to have that commitment to each other, but we're not going to agree 100% of the time. And you just have to know that kind of going in. Now, going in, I do think it's important ahead of time, like we've already talked about, to know where each other stands on this, because for some people it might be a deal breaker. It might be, well, if we're that far apart in our worldview and in our politics, then I don't know if we're going to make it is a married couple, but I believe that a married couple can make it through just about any kind of disagreement if they'll really, really work at it.
Right.
I just say, if you're going to talk about politics and you disagree, you might as well, you have a policy like this. Say, all right, if we're going to talk about politics, we're both going to be naked. Because you just have completely different conversations when you're naked. It's hard to get into an argument that way.
And you're a pastor, Dave. I love you. Yes, that's good stuff.
Wait, yeah. God created sex. So I'm for it.
Yes, he did. Amen. Well, you know, you're at the core of activism right here in San Francisco in the Bay Area. And, you know, there's a lot of people that support Donald Trump. And I just think that, you know, they're kind of silenced. And they feel like they can't talk or they can't speak about it because, like, you know, for instance, in the office, we've got a lot of liberals here and people are anti and this, that, and the other. Myself, I'm not jumping up and down about either of any of the candidates, really. But, you know, what about people who are afraid to speak their mind or they're activists?
Well, I think that we live in a country where we've all got to be able to speak our mind. I mean, that's one of the great things that make our country great is this freedom that we have to be able to express ourselves, even when that expression isn't popular. I think that's honestly when it's most important to be able to speak, is when we're not necessarily in the majority. Now, with that being said, I think that we've got to do it in a way that shows, you know, respect to the people around us. I mean, when I get on social media and I just see one post after another of my friends just posting just like this mean-spirited, angry political stuff, it makes me just want to turn the computer off. And I'm thinking, does that really ever change anybody's mind? Just kind of like, it's just kind of this political vomit that we put out there for the world to, you know, just express our frustration. And I'm glad we live in a place where we can openly express our frustration. But I think sometimes we also have to have the common sense to say, all right, I want to express what's on my mind. I want to be able to say it. I want to be able to engage in dialogue, even with people who don't agree with me. But I don't want to do it in a way where even if I have the right thing to say, even if I'm the one with the right perspective, if I say it in the wrong way, if I say it in a way that demeans the people around me and belittles the people around me, if I win the argument and lose relationships or lose respect from people I care about at the same time, then what have I really won? And so we've got to go into it just not losing our heads, basically, whether it's in a marriage or even with people at the office. It's not worth losing relationships over disagreements.
Right. Well, in today's world, and especially here in the Bay, for sure, you know, whether they're Snapchatting, they're tweeting, or they're using Facebook or whatever they're using, you know, there are so many things out there. A lot of couples, you know, this is where you can see where the differences are. It might not be a fight in your house, but if you look at their posts or their Snapchat or their tweets, you know, it's like, oh, what are you doing? I mean, we're in this together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I think, yeah, just as a general rule, if you find yourself like venting online about something because of a frustration you're having in your relationship, and whether it's directly or indirectly aimed at your significant other, that's just toxic for a relationship. You know, you've got to be able to talk those things out between the two of you without broadcasting your disagreements to the rest of the world.
But that's the way a lot of people vent. I mean, that's the go-to. That's the secret nuke in the back pocket, I think.
No, it is. It is because there's no filter. You know, you can instantly type something out and then it's out there forever. But the thing about it is when you do that, you never feel any better. You might just for a minute, like, okay, I was justified in doing that. But then ultimately you don't feel any better. You've potentially damaged a relationship in the process. You didn't change anybody's mind because of it. And so just think through, what is this really going to accomplish before I post it, beyond just making me feel justified in this moment of frustration long term? And I just think as a culture, we would do better to think more about our decisions in the long term instead of just the immediacy of it.
Well, I think it's interesting.
Say a lot less.
I think it's very interesting too that, you know, that children come into this play too, because, you know, I mean, mom and dad and the politics are on, and you know, you got Donald Trump talking about his penis size, or you know, Hillary about her emails. How do you handle that? There's going to be a difference. You know, one might say, turn that off. I don't want the kids to see it. But of course, then the kids say, I want to see it.
Yeah. And again, I think this is one of those areas, like all parts of parenting. And then parenting is complex and it is tough. It is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And just when I think I get it figured out, the rules totally change and the kids totally change. But you've got to be on the same page with each other as it relates to how you're going to communicate with the kids. Not just about politics, but really about anything. Kids need consistency. They don't need perfection, because there's no such thing as a perfect parent, but they do need consistency, and they need authenticity. They need to know that we're being real with them. And I think one of the best things that we can show our kids is unity between the parents. Even when we're, again, not agreeing on everything, we don't have to agree on it, but we're unified in that, you know what, even when mom and dad disagreed, they loved each other so much that there was still peace, even in those moments of disagreements and in how they handled things. And don't take your arguments and try to use your kids as ammunition, you know, for whether it's political or otherwise, because that just doesn't work. That puts the kids in a weird spot. It's toxic for a marriage. I mean, even divorced people that do that, that use kids against each other, nobody wins in that game. So just don't go there.
All right. And if you're going to fight, do it naked. If you're going to
do it naked, fight naked. That's the takeaway, I think.
Thank you very much, Dave Willis, a best-selling author of 7 Laws of Love and founder of StrongerMarriage.org. Thank you. I appreciate the conversation, and we'll all fight naked. I appreciate it, and have a good rest of the week.
You too, Drex. Thanks
okay,
a lot.
Thank you. All right, let's take a break when we come back. By the way, coming up here, we're going to be talking about the secret world of gamblers betting millions in the 2016 election. It's like a FanDuel DraftKings kind of thing. But coming up next, legendary Beatles producer George Martin passed away yesterday. Now, he was considered the fifth Beatle, all right? So, you know, I have audio of him talking about Strawberry Fields, In My Life, Sgt. Pepper, Good Morning, all of these things on the way next on the Drex Radio Show on KGO A10. First, at 7:46, let's check Lee Graham in the KGO Traffic Center.
Strap in, turn it up, and hang on. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
All right, legendary Beatles producer George Martin passed away yesterday. And, of course, he's considered to be the fifth Beatle because he produced all the Beatles albums and singles except for Let It Be. That was Phil Spector. And he absolutely had a huge influence on their sound. You know, he would add different instruments and, make all of these complex orchestral arrangements. And they broke up. And when they broke up, he worked with Paul McCartney and also did the Love album in 2006. Now, he passed away yesterday at the age of 90. And this is from the making of Sgt. Pepper's documentary. Basically, there are two versions of the song, and we're talking about Strawberry Fields here. And Lennon liked them both. So he asked Martin to merge them, and he did it by speeding one up and slowing the other one down. This is a great story.
Let me take you down.
Double track voice right away. Again, all the rhythm instruments on one track. The voices on 3 and 4. John thought about it and said, I think I can do it better than that. He said, I wanted to have a bit more bite in it, brass, strings. So I said, okay, let's give it a whirl.
Let me take you down, cause I'm going to Strawberry Fields.
Double track voices on 3 and 4, but with percussion as well on 3.
Nothing to get hung about, Strawberry Fields forever.
How cool is that? That's epic. So there's a cool story behind George Martin's excellent little piano solo in My Life from Rubber Soul. And he couldn't play the piano at the speed it needed to be played, the way he himself had written it, basically because he wasn't a good piano player. So we're talking about George Martin here. So he took a little wind-up piano and played the notes at half speed but an octave lower, recorded at 15 inches per second, and then ran the tape back at 30 inches per second so the notes were at the right speed and in the right octave. This is just amazing. So that's a little wind-up, tiny toy piano. Now, here's the piano solo at half speed and an octave lower, the way George would have recorded it before speeding it up to fit the final song. a big difference. No, it wasn't a harpsichord. Yeah, so throw the little tiny wind-up toy piano in there and then, you know, speed it up, and that's what we got. All right, we're talking about the passing of the fifth Beatle, George Martin. Okay, so George, here's a story about George Martin isolating Paul McCartney's gritty vocal track on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Take a listen to this.
Listen to this.
When Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play, they've been going in and out of style. But the gang did the
smile. You've got sawdust in his voice there. And then a bit of classical work, bringing in four French horns.
And in the French horns came. And hallelujah, right? So George Martin says the good morning was actually inspired by a commercial for cornflakes. And a soap opera, which is interesting considering the lavish, complex production that they got into in the studio.
Well, Good Morning, of course, was inspired by a commercial, you know, a breakfast commercial.
Good morning, the best to you each morning. Sunshine breakfast, Kellogg's cornflakes, crisp and full of...
That triggered something in John, which made him write the song. And again, he drew his inspiration from very mundane, ordinary things like Time for Tea and Meet the Wife. Meet the Wife was a television serial.
All right, and there you have it. George Martin passes at the age of 90, and a part of history forever. On the way, we're going to be talking about, yes, you can actually bet on the election. It's the FanDuel, you know, but it's not FanDuel and DraftKings. It's something else. It's an incredible thing. It's called Predict It. It's a website. We'll be talking to the CEO of this website about how you can pull this off because, you know, it's gambling. But nonetheless, you can. And then we'll be talking about the Hulk Hogan trial. Boy, I mean, yesterday, you know, Hulk Hogan and his 10-inch penis, that whole thing, let me find that. Yeah, this was yesterday. Hulk Hogan admitted in court yesterday that he does not actually have a 10-inch package, he once said in an interview. It's all part of the $100 million lawsuit against Gawker for posting clips from his sex tape a few years ago.
Do you have any doubt, as you sit in that witness stand today, that you were discussing the length of your...
Well, it's not mine, because mine isn't that size, but we were discussing the length of Hulk Hogan's.
Seriously? So...
No, seriously, I do not have a 10-inch. No, I do not. Okay. Seriously.
Fair enough. So what you're telling us is you were discussing...
Believe that. Hulk seriously.
Right?
Excuse me?
You were discussing Hulk Hogan's.
Yeah, because Terry Bollea's is not 10 inches like you're trying to say.
Oh, my God. Okay, so just when you think it can't get any more outrageous than that, today... The former Gawker editor drew the line. I mean, this is amazing stuff. So here they have the former editor-in-chief on the stand, and his attorney asked, can you imagine a situation where a celebrity sex tape would not be newsworthy? And this guy answers, well, if they were a child. And he asked, under what age? And the guy said, 4. Gasp. Right? That's today. That was yesterday. This is today. So here we go. We'll talk about it coming up here on the Drex Radio Show after 8 o'clock on KGO 810.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.